is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris, and Dave Barry is back on the show today. I've talked to Dave many times through the years about all the different books he's written, and he's back with a new one now called You Can Date Boys When You're 40. It's a book about parenting and other topics that he says in the book he knows very little about. Dave, welcome back to America Weekend.
Paul, thanks for having me back.
I was going to introduce our segment today with a Justin Bieber song, but then realized, oh, wait, I hate that. And I know from reading your book that you hate it, too. I couldn't even have taken it for the 10 seconds we would have played here. And yet you took your daughter and had to sit through an entire Bieber concert. Why would you do that, Dave?
Well, I love my daughter very much. The thing was, this was last year. She was 13, and she loved Justin Bieber. Now she's 14, and she doesn't love Justin Bieber anymore. She thinks he's an idiot. She loves something called One Direction, which I think might be worse because there's five of them. But but I spent a lot of money on Justin Bieber tickets to sit in this. I have been in loud environments before in my life. I was in Hurricane Andrew, went right over my house. And up till that point, that was the loudest thing I ever heard until I got to the Justin Bieber concert. And just the girl sitting next to me, I don't know who she was, to my right, all by herself, made more noise than Hurricane Andrew. I love you, Justin, all night long. And the thing is, they're like in pain. I mean, the way teenage girls express rapturous joy is exactly the way you would express having your feet gnawed off by weasels. I mean, it sounds like agony, but they're in love.
Well, wait a second. You've heard that same noise when you have performed with the Rock Bottom Remainders with Stephen King and Amy Tan,
no,
Ridley Pearson.
When we perform, it's actual agony that the audience is expressing. It's not rapturous joy.
I'm glad that you said that she's moved on to One Direction, because I thought you were going to say Miley Cyrus.
No. Oh, God. It's a terrifying thought, the whole Miley Cyrusization of a generation of girls. But so far, she's not there.
I'm glad to hear that. So she's 14 years old now, which means you're a couple of years into puberty. How did that go?
Yeah, we need to find a cure for puberty, I think. Some of it I was ready for. I was ready for the fact that, she was not going to want to talk to me or see me or know that I existed for, several years there. Because she's really busy with her 14 million close friends that, they send selfies to each other every 10 seconds.
Right.
Just to keep up with how they look.
Yeah.
But I was ready for that. What I really wasn't ready for, and I should have been, was boys. There used to be no boys around. And now they're around. They're on the lawn. They're on the roof. They're in the trees. They're like squirrels. They're trying to get into the house.
Yeah.
Boys. And what I would like to do is get some kind of trap. It would be a humane trap, but big steel trap sitting on the front yard, like a box next to the front door, because that's how they get in.
Yeah.
And I would bait it with something that attracts 14-year-old boys, like a firework, something stupid. and then when I hear it clang shut, I would go out and there would be a boy in the trap. And I live in Miami, so I would drive him out into the Everglades and release him in a humane manner out there. That's how I'd like to handle it. My wife, because I'm male. I'm a lifelong male, and so I know how we think. I know what's going. I know we're scum as a gender, and I don't want this gender around my daughter. So, but my wife, who's a woman, lets them in. She lets them come into the house, which is very troubling to me.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's something, I walk into the TV room and there's a boy sitting on the same sofa as my daughter. You know, I would like him to be on a different piece of furniture, ideally located in like Minnesota.
See, when my daughter's now almost 20 years old, but when she was that age, I considered building a moat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, with vipers and alligators and a drawbridge and the whole thing. But unfortunately, my homeowners association frowns on that sort of thing.
Well, then I suppose that rules out my other idea, which is to get a firearm. I'm the only person in Miami who doesn't own a firearm, as far as I know.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't shoot anybody. That's wrong. But I would maybe saunter through the TV room when my daughter's in there with a boy, and maybe accidentally discharge it into the ceiling, so that the boy would know that. Two things. He would know I have a firearm, and I do not have total control over it.
Yeah. And then you would claim stand your ground?
Yeah. Well, I live in Florida. We're allowed to shoot anything we want anytime.
When my daughter was in her single digits, 6, 7, 8, every time she'd have a birthday, my wife and I would subtract from 12 how many years there were left before she hated our guts. We were wrong. It wasn't 12. It was actually 13.
You know, I don't know that my daughter hates me. It's just that, you know, I just doesn't really have a lot of time for me. And, like, she's a soccer player, so I drive the soccer carpool sometimes, which means that I'll have my daughter and, like, five other girls in the car. And they're all, you know, talking really loud. They're all giggling. They're all texting. They're texting each other, even though they're sitting right next to each other. And they're listening to their two radio stations that play, like, two songs, a grand total of, in heavy rotation. And then every now and then, if I say something, it's like there's this moment of silence in the car, like, where did that come from? Oh, him. That's his driving the car. And I think they would be happier if I actually weren't in the car, but were running alongside next to it, steering through the window.
Yeah. If there were a way to turn the car into public transportation where Dad wasn't involved, she might actually go for that.
Or just invisit Dad. You know, the dad, you know, that you couldn't see me, and I made a duct tape over my mouth. That would probably be better.
You get a lot of eye rolling and a lot of a lot of that sound.
Everything you say is very embarrassing to them. Very embarrassing.
So how is it when you write a book about her? How did that go over?
Well, here's what I tell her. I said, you know, Sophie, I'd be happy to not write about you if you would be willing to pay for your own college education.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Dad needs material. Like my son, who's older now, he got this. I mean, I picked him up once at middle school in the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, which had, you know, like had to be the most embarrassing thing that ever happened.
Wow. Anyway.
But that was, you know, Daddy needed a column, and Daddy had the Wienermobile, so there you are.
Yeah. By the way, the hating you in the early teens, that goes away as soon as they go off to college because they realize at college there isn't any food in the refrigerator for free that somebody magically put there in the middle of the night. They need things. And
the food fairy.
Yeah,
that
comes
right back to you.
Like a
laundry fairy.
Now, I also have to ask you about a couple of other things you write in here that are not related to your daughter, and one of them is about grammar. You give some grammar lessons in here. And
I have a whole essay on grammar. I find grammar to be very funny, but you don't normally think of that as a humor topic. But I used to write this column called "Ask Mr. Language Person," which he was a language expert who got everything wrong, and that essay in the book is based on Mr. Language Person. It's the world's most inaccurate guide to English grammar.
Have you ever gotten into an argument with one of your book editors about something you've written where they were 100% sure that they were right about the grammar and you were 100% sure that they were right also?
No, I'm always the one who's right. Yes, I do get in arguments. And this was a tricky one, believe it or not, that essay, because it's intentionally wrong, much of it. And so the editor had to, you know, I felt bad for the copy editors because they had to figure out when I was trying to make a mistake and when I wasn't, you know.
Also,
I tell them all my mistakes are intentional.
Yeah, you were talking about writing things for the book because, you know, you got to send your daughter to college someday. Is that the explanation for why you read 50 Shades of Grey?
No, that was a genuine effort on my part to understand what women want.
How'd that work out?
I failed utterly. This is a book that 100 million people bought. I mean, it's the best-selling book in modern times, and it was almost all women who bought it. And so I wanted to know what is it about this book that is so appealing to so many women. So I read it, and the plot. Spoiler alert here. The plot is this woman gets into a relationship with a 27-year-old hot billionaire who wants to tie her up and hit her, and for like 300 and whatever pages, she goes round and round. Well, he's a really hot billionaire. Let's have sex. Well, that was great. Uh-oh, now he wants to tie me up and hit me. I don't want that. But he's a really hot billionaire. You know, round and round and round she goes. And finally, at the end, she decides, this is a real spoiler alert, to let him tie her up and hit her. And he does. And guess what? It hurts. She doesn't like it. So she breaks up with him, and that's the end of the book.
Yeah.
So like, I'm like, I went to my wife after I read this, and my wife had not read it, and I said, do you secretly want me to tie you up and hit you? And she goes, no. So I'm left with, you know, 27-year-old hot billionaire, tie you up and hit you. There's four things there. Of the three, I can't do 27 hot or billionaire.
Yeah.
The only thing I can do is tie her up and hit her, and she doesn't want that. So I give up. I learned nothing from that book.
Well, what, didn't you discover something?
It's probably good to be a 27-year-old hot billionaire.
Didn't you discover something about your inner goddess?
No, I did not. She is, the narrator of this book. She's always talking about her inner goddess. And this narrator is the worst ninny. Just like unbearable human. Oh, it's awful. Anyway, yes. It's a wonderful book. I highly recommend it to everyone. I'm talking about my book, not
Yeah. Dave Barry's book is called You Can Date Boys When You're 40, in which he steps out onto the precipice, not only of puberty, but a Justin Bieber concert and 50 Shades of Grey. You're a brave man, Dave.
Thank you, Paul.
Always a pleasure talking to you. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.